This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. The U.S. ambassador to Iraq wants those negotiating the final language of a draft constitution to work in what he calls a spirit of compromise and take the national interest into account when talks resume tomorrow. But the head of the committee that drafted the document said today that the new three-day deadline does not give enough time to win the support of Sunni Arabs, who were largely left out of the last days of negotiations. The National Assembly is expected to vote on the draft by the end of this week. As before, the main sticking point is whether the Iraqi government should be a federal system with a great deal of Kurdish autonomy in the north and the prospect of Shia autonomy in the south. Sunnis worry that federalism will lead to sectarian divisions. They're also concerned that they will be shut out of Iraq's immense oil wealth. We'll hear from Baghdad, and we'll hear the latest on the insurgency in the so-called Sunni Triangle, where there is no sign of an Iraqi government, police, or coalition military forces. Later in the program, reports say that U.S. troops are up against a guerrilla-style offensive by a resurgent Taliban in Afghanistan. We'll hear differing opinions from two people, one who's there and one who just came back. And then the first change in decades for light truck fuel efficiency standards. The industry is not happy, but neither are environmentalists. First, arm-twisting on the Iraqi constitution. We're going to wait a few minutes on that. Negotiators in Baghdad are trying to unite the country through a national constitution, but there are parts of Iraq that are quickly becoming lawless outposts ruled by gun-toting insurgents. Joining us now from Baghdad is Omar Mahdi. He'd been filming a documentary in Haditha, a town of 90,000 mostly Sunni residents located in the infamous western Anbar province. Omar Mahdi is producer for the London-based Guardian Films. He joins us now from Baghdad. Dad, nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you.
Now, the bridge leading into Haditha has become the site of regular executions in that city. Who's being killed?
Well, it's Haqqaniya Bridge. In fact, the insurgents killed the agents, those who give information to the American and the persons from the government. It's usually to execute their victims at that bridge, and it's famous between the people that it is the agent bridge.
And who does the killing?
Well, the people saying they are the Mujahideen.
Mujahideen, that's a word we're familiar with, Islamic warriors, but what organizations, to your knowledge, do they represent?
Well, anybody goes there, he cannot use the word terrorist or insurgent. He should use the word Mujahideen, which means the Islamic fighters. As I know from the people there, they are belonging to two groups, the Ansar Sunnah, which is mainly Iraqis, and Al-Tawheed and Jihad, which is usually non-Iraqi Arabic fighters.
That last group is also known as Al-Qaeda in Iraq, is it not?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, this is a town, U.S. And Iraqi forces swept through this town, just a couple of months ago?
Well, there was a big operation done before 2 weeks, as early as this month. And for this purposes, there are a big execution campaign because the people saying whenever the American or the army, Iraqi army, come to the city, there are a big list of agents appear and usually they are executed.
And so these forces, when U.S. or Iraqi forces go through the area, well, we're familiar with what happened in Fallujah, where insurgent forces tried to stand up to the U.S. Marines and lost badly.
From what I saw and from what I hear, they have a new strategy. Whenever there are invasion or a military operation over the city, they start to withdraw from the city and they start to do operation from outside the city. I think they don't want to make it a second Fallujah. There will be no war street or war fight.
But in the meantime, from your description of what's going on in this town, these insurgent groups are telling people how to dress, what kind of clothes to wear, all kinds of, it sounds like the Taliban in Afghanistan.
Well, that's right. In that city, the woman cannot walk without covering her hair. Also, there should be no close relationship between women and men and such like extremist Islamic laws.
You witnessed, as I understand it, reading your story in The Guardian, you witnessed a man being punished, whipped by cables. What was going on?
Yes, that's right. It was on the day I reached the city. It was in the center of the market. The Mujahideen there brought a man. He was nearly around 40s. He is a headmaster for a school there. He has two wives, but he make an adult relationship with a woman. And the Mujahideen discovered that and brought him and whipped him in the center of the market 190 times in front of the people.
In front of the people. This is a public beating.
Yeah, that's right.
You also say that they sell DVDs or give away DVDs of their executions in the marketplace.
Whatever the Mujahideen do, they film that. They film the interrogations, they film the executions, and they distribute the CDs. They are not selling them. They just distribute it for free to the people. They're saying it's part from their to show to show what are really going to the people. I mean, when they execute somebody, they show his interrogations to the people to make them or to ensure that the people know he is agent.
And in the meantime, there is no presence from the Iraqi government, the Iraqi police, the Iraqi military, or coalition U.S. forces.
Well, I went to the city and I spent there 3 days. I never saw any military Americans or Iraqis. There were a police HQ, but it was nearly destroyed. And I've been told that there are so many bombs inside the building. Also, the municipality building was nearly completely destroyed. You can see only there the hospital is working and also a small court, which I've been told that it is done only personal things like marriage, divorce, nothing more.
And you say from what you heard in Haditha that there are similar situations in other cities through the Euphrates Valley and indeed building up again in Fallujah.
Yeah, that's right. I hear that all the cities which is to the west of Haditha are under the same circumstances. I couldn't witness that by myself, but the people told me that.
And eventually you had to abandon your film project. How come? Why?
Well, when I went to the city, I was told by a group of people that I should take a permission from the insurgent or the Mujahideen, as they call them. And I tried to get this permission and I couldn't. So I did not want them to make angry or I did not want to make any risk about myself. So I had to postpone the project.
Sounds like a wise decision. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much.
Omer Maudi is a producer for Guardian Films, and he joined us on the phone from Baghdad. Well, in Baghdad, of course, the major issue today is what's happening with the draft constitution that was provided to the National Assembly yesterday. Joining us now is Dan Murphy, Arab World correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. He's also on the phone from Baghdad. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Hi, thanks for having me.
As I understand, talks are set to resume tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, talks will resume tomorrow. The problem really is that the Sunni negotiators on the drafting committee have made it very clear that they aren't going to sign off on this draft. And what we're likely heading towards by the end of the week is the interim parliament passing a constitution, but with no Sunni acquiescence whatsoever. And this is driving up tensions and concerns here.
There are a lot of efforts. I've seen Sunni leaders quoted as saying we need to get people registered, come out and vote against this under the Iraqi constitution. If two-thirds of the voters in three provinces vote no, the whole process has to start again.
That's correct. And again, the referendum will be on October 15th. There perhaps are three provinces where Sunnis make up a majority. Although there's no clear demographic data, there hasn't been a census of any merit in Iraq for a very long time now. So it's not clear whether or not they'll be able to do that. But, if you have, given that the Sunnis are leading the insurgencies here, and there's a lot of passive support within their community, and even amongst the people that aren't violent, you can end up with a situation where they are totally cut out and they feel totally betrayed by this process. If they don't manage to shoot a constitution down they're unhappy with, that might be even worse than if they do manage to shoot down a constitution they're unhappy with.
And the insurgents groups, like Omar Mahdi was just describing to us in Haditha, those are still saying any Sunni, any Iraqi who cooperates with the election is subject to be killed.
Well, I only caught a little bit of his interview, and while he's right, there are insurgents like that, and that is a huge problem for all Iraqis, and including Sunnis. That isn't the whole story on the insurgency. We both have these radical religious fanatics, is all I can really call them, like the Zarqawi types, I think like a lot of what he was describing in the Haditha area. You also have Sunni Arab insurgents who are Iraqi who might be brutal in their tactics sometimes, but are going to stand aside and encourage their people to vote because they recognize that a further boycott at this point could hurt their interests. The problem is it's not clear even within the Sunni insurgency which side is stronger and which side will prevail.
Based on what you're hearing from leaders of the Shia and Kurdish factions today, are they willing to extend any kind of concessions at this point to the Sunnis?
Not that we can tell. Their attitude last night and today has been they've bent over backward already to accommodate Sunni demands. They are describing the Sunnis as obstructionists, people that aren't to be satisfied at all, and we've bent only so far, and we can't bend anymore for them. And they have a certain point. A lot of Sunnis want to see this process fail now so that their new elections are forced, in which they will hopefully be better represented in the parliament since they did boycott the last election. And at that point, they feel like they'll have a lot more input and influence over the process. So there is a very real sense at which there's almost nothing that the Shiites and Kurds are going to offer them at this point that's going to satisfy them.
Dan Murphy, thanks very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Dan Murphy, Arab World correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, joined us by phone from Baghdad.